This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. Florida's capital city. This is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you, as always. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you joining us on a Monday. Tom Lang in the house, just flew back to New York. Great to see him this week. Director Matthew here as well. Always great to see him. On Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show, and away we go. Busy weekend, a productive weekend for some Noles in the combine, huh? Right? That turned out swimmingly. But before we get underway, we have to do it this way now since we're in separate locales. Although I got to golf with my boy and hang out with him all weekend. Corey Clark, his wedding to Stephanie, could not have been better. Really good times. How are you, sir?
Tired, but we're good. We're good. 6 a.m. flight, man, comes early. The good thing is that stayed at Hotel Indigo, our friends at Hotel Indigo.
Yeah.
Not that far from the airport, so the wake-up call wasn't terribly early, but it was 3 a.m. hour, and we walked through the door about 45 minutes ago, so yeah.
We'll do it, baby. We'll make it happen. It's all right. It's all right. And hello to all of you in the chat. We appreciate you. The Heisen Lincoln Law Firm chat, I should say, and appreciate that very, very much. Saw some of you. I see you guys. Some of you were at the wedding. Yeah, we had a good time. I'll just let you guys know out there. You guys follow the War Chant family. It was good. We had a good time at Corey and Stephanie's wedding. Congratulations to those two. It was a good time. A lot of smiles for everybody involved. And since I love both those people, I was happy to see their happiness and also getting to run into so many people that I've gotten to meet over the years, either through mutual friendships or, in fact, just working here at War Chant and being in the business that we're in, Tom. So we saw a lot of people that are always pleasant to talk to and kind of catch up with. And obviously, it was a fun occasion. So we hope they're off having fun. Hopefully, they're not paying attention to sports. Go do whatever you're going to do and have some fun with it. I don't even know what they're doing, Corey and Stephanie, but they're certainly not doing it here at War Chant right now.
Yeah, that's correct. I think one of the big things for them, obviously, is the Ireland trip. They're doing it like a lot of the folks in the chat are, or if you're listening on the air or the podcast. Like, they're making it a thing. I know actually two couples who are treating it as their honeymoon. So I think that's going to be probably the big shebang. But it was like spirited in such a good way from start to finish. There was a bus service that took everybody to and from the corner pocket if they opted into that.
Mm-hmm.
A giant Astro bus with a badass driver named Mr. B. Hope Mr. B's listening. But Mr. B was nifty. With a giant machine, he could get that thing.
I watched him back that sucker into the hub. That was amazing. I was impressed. Yeah,
exceptionally smooth. Mr. B was a good driver.
So, by the way, if you guys are going over to Ireland to watch Florida State play football, first of all, I think, as an aside, I think that game might be pretty good. Georgia Tech played well on the back half of this in the back half of the season last year. Kind of looked like a team that was well coached and knew what they were doing a little bit there late. So that game may end up being, especially with all these new pieces to the puzzle for Florida State, that game could be decent. I hope not. I hope we win by 60. I hope the folks in Ireland are bored to tears as we're hanging out and watching in a pretty cool location. I've had the pleasure of having been over there to the stadium, Aviva Stadium, and walked the grounds. Really not a bad seat in the house. This is not a sell job by me, but if you're going over there, you're contemplating it. I love Ireland. I've been to Ireland twice now. This will be the third time that I'll go to Ireland. I actually did my honeymoon in Ireland. That was 19 years ago. But yes, good times. I love the place. The people are awesome. There's a lot to do. You and I will be on the grounds broadcasting for several days before that football game is played.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for that because the weather, too, that part of the year in Ireland is like that's their time. It's July and August is go time. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a nice respite for everybody who is traveling from the south because you'll be, especially in Tallahassee, roasting. August, it gets a little different. It gets annoying. It's like February for the north here. People are done in February. All right.
Frustrated.
You get to August in Florida. You're like, okay, all right. So the Ireland respite is going to be a good one. And you're right. I think it could be a good game. I saw a question in the Heisen Leica chat before the show started of what's the early over under for next year combine participants for Florida State. And you know what? I was doing the list. It's
double digits.
High.
It's double digits again. I did the list this morning. So first of all, that actually works out well since so many Florida State players participated over the weekend and at the end of last week at the combine. And we documented some of it the last 2 days we were on the air. There was more over the weekend. It, by and large, it was a very, very, very good showing for Florida State football players, and a lot of guys had an opportunity to really improve their stock, and I'm so glad most of them seem to take advantage of that opportunity. It also does – I know Ira wrote this in his column, and I'll talk to Ira in the second hour of today's show. You know, we talked a little bit about – and I'm always careful about this because it's in a dangerous territory when you start talking about people's – medical conditions and people's health and surgery that's necessary or not necessary, things that they're looking after. You have to be careful, partly because it's obviously a very private thing, but also as it pertains to what we're allowed to report and what Mike Norvell's rules are for allowing us to have really unfettered access to Florida State football. One of the things you can't do is obviously you can't give away, you know, play formations and things that they're working on. You can't do that on a day-to-day basis. But you also can't talk about players' injuries because, first of all, they want to be the first to talk to the parents of these players or the loved ones of these players if there is an injury of some kind. And secondly, they don't want speculation on something like that, which makes total sense. You know, I mean, we're not doctors. I don't know. Somebody could limp off from practice and be back the next day. We don't know. So we steer clear of it. And that gets me to my next point. Late in the season last year, and I've talked about this a lot in the past, and I don't want to go back over all of this, but late in the year, guys were hanging on by a thread. A lot of the players that were of vital importance to Florida State's success were guys that were going out there at 60%, in some cases 50%, 70%, guys that were really, really hurting. In terms of they needed a minor surgery to clean something up. In some cases, they needed a fairly significant procedure, maybe one that wouldn't take forever to rehab, but, you know, invasive. There were guys that had to deal with a lot of stuff that they could put off from week to week because they were trying to do what they did, which was go undefeated and win the conference championship and what they thought would be an automatic berth into the Invitational. Of course, it didn't happen that way because this time around, the committee took the unprecedented step of ignoring the resume and choosing a team who had a blight on said resume and putting them over one who did not. First time they've done that, Florida State on the wrong end of a screw job. We got it. Once the screwing happened and your goals were ripped from underneath you like a rug pulled and you were no longer going to get the opportunity that you had earned, then you needed to get right and try to do and put your best foot forward, all the things that you could do in order to really have a great combine. There were a lot of guys that needed to get healthy, needed to rest, needed to have minor procedures and get right for this moment in time. And I'm glad they did, because almost all of them shined bright over these 4 days. It was something for Florida State. And here's the good news. If we're looking at good, okay, big picture. First of all, you're just happy for those guys, okay? Those are guys that played hard, played hurt, played well. They all did everything they could to represent Florida State football as best they could. So you just are happy for them. Go get paid, boys. Go make a living at it. Go do what you've trained to do since you were little kids. Number two, God, does it really enhance Florida State's profile. This is continuing a trend, guys. Florida State, when I talk about upward mobility and on an upwards path, man, Florida State right now is shining bright. Okay, you can't name too many more schools right now that are shining brighter than Florida State in the world of college football. Sure, Georgia's one of them. Got it. They're the creme de la creme right now of college football. But even a team like Michigan, who's your reigning invitational champion, they're not shining as bright. Their head coach just bolted. Half that team is gone. Nobody's projecting Michigan next year to get back to a national championship level of play. We just assume it's not going to happen, right? You'd be more apt, I think, to look at a Florida State than you would. I would. I know Vegas might not be, but I think I would look at a Florida State over a Michigan. I would. Washington's surely not going to. They just lost their head coach, too, and their best player. So Penix is gone. Head coach is gone. Forget about it. There are maybe three teams that are shining as bright as Florida State right now. Maybe four. But it's not much. It's Texas. It's Georgia.
Yeah.
It's not Alabama. Maybe Alabama. Maybe.
Yeah. I think you're correct. Texas is getting trendy in that way.
Oh, big time. Big time.
I've said this a bunch, too. It's nice to see our guys that we watch at practice go to the combine and put up those numbers so that we, in retrospect, can say, all right, that did look different to me, and I'm glad that it plays yep. as not good for Florida State, not good for the ACC, just good for the NFL. Like when Trey Benson, the first day that he was at full speed, full go, had not done a thing in a game yet, he's just from Oregon, runs right by us on the sidelines, and you feel the speed with which Whoosh. He's moving. You can hear him. You can hear him, the air moving out of the way, him charging down for the end zone. It's on the far side closer to Pensacola Street. I thought, oh, my God. Well, that's fast. But I don't know how fast. Maybe it's 4.55, but Florida State's been so bad for so long that it just looks fast. No, man, that's sub 4.4 speed.
Yeah, 4.39. Yeah, he ran 4.39 at the combine. He's a big guy. All these guys had moments. I mean, Johnny Wilson, what a moment for him to run sub 4.6, to outrun Keon Coleman, who I worried about coming into this process. I thought in the second half of last year, he flat out looked slow. And now that's not the measure of a great wide receiver solely. I mean, Johnny does a lot of things very, very well. And he is a very good athlete, obviously. He makes the contested catch. He's got good hands. But he is not a burner. There's no question about that. And when you're running 4.6 anything as a wide receiver, it's you better be really good in everything else. Really, really good. Keon may go on to have a great career. We'll see. I don't think he did himself any favors in that run. Johnny Wilson, however, did himself a lot of favors at that size to run at that speed.
That was cool. I thought Johnny would run a faster time than one would expect. I didn't know he'd run a faster time than Mike Evans. Mike Evans ran a 4.53.
Yeah.
And Johnny was a 4.52. Now, I'm not going to compare him like everybody's going to do over the next couple of months because the profiles are so similar. A vertical jump, 40 time, height, wingspan. Johnny has the largest wingspan of any receiver in however long. Like, this is all good stuff for Johnny. It just comes down to the question of drops, and the drops have cost him a lot of money. If there wasn't a drop issue, this combine would have shot him up the board into the first round, I do believe. But it's going to be a fun career to monitor because, again, one-on-one drills that we get to see, Johnny got by dudes a lot. He got by him, and I didn't know if that was because we're slow, because we're still on the way up. No. If Johnny Wilson's running by you, you might not be slow yourself because he can run 4.52. Jared had a great time. Jerrion Jones had an exceptional time.
Oh, man.
We're a really fast – I think – what you're getting at about shining bright, our reputation is going to be that we're a really fast team. Like Florida State has speed for days, and that's going to be pretty cool.
The athleticism of Florida State, I think it really, in some ways, you polished off the reputation of what Florida State was at the end of the year and reminded people, no, look closer, look closer. Florida State had a lot of really good athletes. It wasn't a few here or there. It wasn't just Jordan Travis. It wasn't just this one player or that other player there. It wasn't a stud on defense and a stud on offense and a bunch of good players. No. Littered throughout the 22 offense, defense starters was a bunch of really, really good athletes. And that's how you go 13-0. And that's also how you withstand the abnormal amount of injuries that Florida State had. It's because you have exceptionalism elsewhere on your roster. And when one part of your team goes down in a heap, an injury heap, if you will, another part rises up. And Florida State had that balance. I'm very, very impressed, and I congratulate the guys. But again, I think it's an indicator of where this is headed. And I'm looking big picture. None of us know how any of these careers are going to pan out. We all have an opinion about who's going to have a great NFL career or not. We do this every year as we approach the draft. Everybody is usually pretty succinct with their thoughts on a player's success or failures to come. That's what's fun about being a fan of the league and watching college football and pro football. We all kind of do that. But big picture, Florida State put themselves – I think in another category. And I think what you can't lose sight of here, if you go, so I read a lot of basically summary articles of topics that I think would be interesting for my audience. Now, obviously, the central theme of this show has been for 25 plus years, Florida State athletics. Now, we get into all the other stuff. Hey, there was a stretch of time where I was on the air for a long time. I talked NBA. I would talk more NBA, but we only have 2 hours together, so I get it. The bottom line is when I think about where Florida State's headed and what I think Florida State's going to be, it's like when you have these athletes that are now being written about nationally, Tom. So when you're reading these collection, these summary articles, and every time you read a non-biased, right, just a national writer's opinion, and it's involving four or five of any school's players, that is a walking advertisement for the seniors in high school. That is a huge, like, hey, look over here, guys. Do you know one of the schools that's producing en masse NFL talent? Shine the light bright here. Florida State just became one of those. If you have a year, let's say this one is double digits, you get 10 to 12 players drafted, and then the following season you do it again. You're not a fluke, and Florida State figures to have something close to double digits again next year. Now, all of a sudden, the picture that's painted is 20-plus dudes going to the league in a 2-year span from one school that is upwardly mobile and has pieced together a bunch of wins. You know, a 13-0 season on the heels of a 10-win season, which figures, again, to be a 10-plus win season next year. Now you have the sustainability that kids want when they're choosing the places that they want to go to be developed, go to the National Football League.
Yeah, that's when you can turn kids away at the high school level. Instead of, you know, going down to the nitty-gritty in the 11th hour, your reputation precedes you. And it's a fun place to be. Is it hard here? Mike Norvell is honest about that. But it's a fun offense. This isn't 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It's multiple. They move the ball around. They spread the ball around. They like to rotate a lot of players. They like to play a lot of players. Like, what's remarkable to me is we're on the precipice of doing this. And, you know, short of a bunch of injuries next year, you are going to have double-digit players at the combine next year. Mm-hmm. Mike Norvell was able to do this without taking risks on culture, meaning, like, this kid could really help establish us and get us where we need to go. Cross your fingers, because he might get in trouble, and it might torpedo the locker room. Oh, man, he built this thing by vetting players very, very closely, both in the portal and in the high school ranks. So the culture is intact as you're arriving. This is built to last. This is what he said he was going to do. This is being built to last for the long term, not parlay at all in a nice little 3-year run, and then everything goes kaput like an Urban Meyer program at Florida. Like, this is what I love about what's being built right now.
couple of things to touch on. There's a lot to get to today, actually. I want to get to all of it. But what is this Florida State baseball team besides undefeated? 10-0 now. We'll talk about them and delve into some of those numbers. They had a great weekend in Greenville, sweeping the teams from the Midwest and coming out the other side and continuing the performances that have us pretty excited about the potential for a much, much better campaign. Florida State basketball predictably went on the road and lost to Georgia Tech. Season's as good as over until we get to the ACC tournament, and then you just have to hope for a miracle run, which is highly unlikely. Another record broken for Caitlin Clark in college women's basketball. The Florida State basketball team won, barely. Did you see that? That was a little Chris Webber-esque, huh? From the Clemson girls calling timeout that they didn't have at the end of the game. Oops, technical foul. Tough way to lose. Sucks for you. The Noles will be a 5 seed. The women will be in the ACC tournament. And then from there, of course, voice of really NFL reporting, Chris Mortensen, passed away over the weekend, unfortunately. Touch on his legacy as well. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom, a salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. 2 Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Good to be with you. Yeah, next year we were talking about projecting what's going to be what. Well, you have a lot of guys right off the bat on the defensive line that you could project probably to be amongst those the combine. I'm very interested to see what Patrick Payton becomes this year, by the way. I have a feeling yet another step going to be taken for that young man who's so long and he's put on size now. He's really probably got a chance to develop into a complete defensive end. He's been more of a one-dimensional defensive end in his time here. But I think next year is the step he takes to being a complete defensive end in much the same way Jared Verse did this year. Jared Verse got bigger, got stronger, was pretty much thought of as kind of a pass rusher initially. And then obviously by the time he left here, he was the complete package at defensive end. He could set the edge. He could handle, really, people running right at him, which freed him up to do other things later on. It's good stuff. I'm really, really, really excited for old batted balls, Peyton. And I'm excited for what I think Josh Farmer will become. Let's hope Darryl Jackson takes that step as well. good chance he does if he's practicing every day, knowing that he's going to get a chance to actually play on Saturdays. And there's help there, man. You've got, you know, you got guys now, you feel like, in this rotation where everybody has a chance to shine. That's really kind of what happened at the end of last year for Florida State's defensive line. Everybody had opportunities to shine because there was so much talent and prowess around them. But I'll get back to that. I mentioned before the break about the baseball team. Let's dive into what happened over the weekend for this baseball team, which is more victories. They are a 10-0 team. Now, when you're trying to bounce back from the season that was a year ago, which was a cataclysmic failure and really a hard watch, it wasn't just that they were bad and that they were losing games, it's that you couldn't see a way for them to win games. You know, sometimes when you watch a team that's, you know, coming up short in certain areas, Tom, you're like, well, they just don't have anybody to close it out. Well, the back end of the bullpen's bad and they blow a lot of leads. But for Florida State, they didn't have starting pitching beyond really, they had about a pitcher and a half that were decent. Nobody dominated at the front of that rotation. So you went into every three-game series over the weekend thinking, well, going to have to win a slugfest somewhere along the way here, and you have to hope like hell your one good starter has a good outing. You know, you didn't have much in the way of hope. You couldn't pick up the baseball. You didn't run the bases well. You had guys that were having to play out of position solely because they could hit a little bit. So you had guys that weren't playing where they're supposed to play. You had a whole lot of swing and miss in you. You couldn't pick up the baseball. You weren't a deep lineup, so if your few hitters at the top didn't get hits, you were screwed. Basically, there were a lot of ways to just pitch around Tibbs. So you had all these issues. You had a lot of issues. I'll just leave it at that. We documented last year. But when we started this year, the hope was that you would, A, pick up the baseball better. Guys would be more aligned with where they're supposed to be. And the influx of players would be guys that had played those positions. You had gotten a good look at them at their previous location. And you thought, obviously, coming into this lineup, they would improve defensively. Well, they have. They've improved defensively through 10 games significantly. I'll get to those numbers in a minute. Offensively, they lengthened the lineup. Now, you knew that was what they were trying to do, and you saw some of the numbers of the kids that were coming in this year, and you thought, okay, all right, well, you know, maybe now we've got, what, five or six guys that you feel pretty good about. Well, it's so far, it's this is a lengthy lineup. We are a team that applies pressure pretty much 1 through 9 right now. It's a problem for opposing pitchers. If you don't believe, now again, early season competition does not always portend of what's to come when you get into conference play. But Florida State entering into the rankings now, I don't really care about regular season rankings, but as further proof that they're getting noticed, FSU baseball is ranked 19th by Perfect Game. They're 24th by Baseball America. They play Florida Gulf Coast this upcoming Wednesday. That could be a really good game at 4 o'clock. Florida State has scored at least 7 runs in every game they've played this year. The team, one of the most impressive aspects of this as a team is the on-base percentage. The team on-base percentage is .469. They're slugging close to .600. Batting average, .367 for the team. Most of this lineup right now is hitting over .300. Cam Smith is hitting .478. He has 22 hits already this year. Tibbs, obviously, 6 home runs. We've seen the production there. He's always had power. He's also had a sweet, beautiful swing since the day he stepped foot on campus. He's got 21 RBIs. He's slugging .860. You brought Faroe in. I remember watching Adam Faroe, his dad. I watched him play when he was here. Now I'm old and watching his son play. Well, his son has scored 15 times this year. He's had 9 extra base hits. He has 7 doubles on the year. The pitching staff, Tom, has a team ERA of .330. Teams are hitting .220 against FSU pitching. And here's a number that'll blow you away. They have struck out 140 batters in 90 innings, and they've only walked 54. Last year, when I talked about the maddening inability to pick up the baseball, through 10 games, Florida State has just 8 errors. This is a much better team through 10 games this year. It's not even close, and they steal bases to boot. So you've got an aggressiveness on the base paths. You have an athleticism defensively that wasn't there a year ago. This is a bat-to-ball lineup. Last year they were unwatchable with all the strikeouts. So, hey, bravo.
You knew Link wasn't going to sit idly by. I don't know what they are just yet by way of comparison to teams that we will think are favored to go to the College World Series, but I know they're a lot better than they were a year ago, and it's not close.
Yeah, just, you know, being able to watch all the games that I do and then physically seeing one last Tuesday, to me, it's too early to go crazy for them. Next week is where, when you start to get it on. You got Florida on Tuesday and then a weekend series with Notre Dame. Okay, now we're starting to get some more defined just how good is Florida State. This is, to me, at least a consistently competitive group. Like this, they're going to play competitive baseball consistently with the likes of this conference, which is pretty dang good this year. The ACC is pretty good. So, and of course, Wake Forest leads the way there. That's what I'm excited to see, though, is beyond consistently competitive, not shooting themselves in the foot, how high can they reach? Like, are we watching something special, kind of an overnight thing? Or what are we watching? Is it a team that maybe could be a top 16 national seed? Is it a team that you would favor to come out of a regional? And then we'll see what happens in the Supers. The terms will be defined beginning next week. The Gulf Coast game could be good, and there was a washout tomorrow, for those of you who don't know. Bad weather in the area tomorrow, so they're only playing one instead of two midweek with Gulf Coast. So that could be a good game Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Then you got New Orleans coming into town, and then it's go time. This is going to be a fun couple of weeks to learn about this group.
Yeah, I think that some of the things that we've seen through 10 games will continue to translate. You know, if you're picking up the baseball through 10 games, that's a large enough sample size to suggest they're a lot better at doing that than they were a year ago. Because whether you're playing a good team or a bad team, a ground ball is a ground ball. If you can pick it up and throw it accurately to the base, then you're doing that better through 10 games than you did anything close to a year ago. We know that. The athleticism that plays on the base paths and the outfield, guys that can really go, that plays. That's not going to change. Some of those things are there. You have more arms. There's no doubt about that. You've got a lot more arms than you had a year ago. Jamie Arnold hasn't given up an earned run in 17 innings.
He's been something, man. And again, no walks again in his start this weekend. He was the one that started the three-game set because there was a washout Friday. Like, these coaches have to be like, come on, can we get into a routine here a little bit?
I know.
They've got two games to play with that they could schedule later in the year if they want to. I'm hoping that they do because there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of depth here. You want to see more of the players. But because of the washout situation in the two games on Saturday, Jamie Arnold set the tone, man.
Yeah.
And it was no walks. His whip is well under one so far this season. There's no trouble on the base paths. He has been something else. Now we'll see what he does with the step up in competition next week.
I just want for them to be good so bad. It's so much fun around here. I mean, I that's the thing. You know, for the most part in the years that I've been doing this show, Florida State baseball was a part of that. I was very fortunate because I recognize that there aren't too many areas of the country where college baseball plays. You couldn't go on the air in too many places, too many regions of the country, and even bring up college baseball with a straight face. But you can in Tallahassee because of the great tradition. And you can when it's Florida State baseball and people care about it and they're passionate about it. And so to have it having been basically persona non grata a year ago, where there's just you were excited about Link's opportunity and then you saw what they were and then you recognized there's no magic dust to sprinkle on this team to change their fortune this year. They just don't have these things and they're going to have to wait and do a massive overhaul. And they'll hold on to the key pieces and then really just try to infuse some life, some more talent into this roster. And they did. They did. And, you know, trying to flip culture too. So there's a lot of that going on. Good for Florida State baseball. Off to a great start. By the way, if you've been in an accident, call Heisalinka Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. There's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisalinka Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisalinkaLawFirm.com. That's Heisalinka Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Sincerely miss those heavy metal bands I used to go see on the landing in the summer.
Chef Cameron Show rolling on. Good Monday to you all. Hopefully you're well. Florida State basketball fell over the weekend. Won't spend a lot of time on it. Just got done doffing the cap to the baseball team that won. I was very pleased of their performance. Not pleased to see FSU do what's predictable on the road against Georgia Tech. We never play well there. Came out able to score. Defense was optional for both teams. Second half, Florida State doesn't get enough stops. Doesn't shoot the ball well at all. That second half is as ugly a testament to poor shooting as you'll see. And they lose. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Whole lot of nothing for basketball. And that stinks. I just talked about the infusion of life for baseball. Would like to see it for basketball. Love Leonard, but this is not it. This is tough to stomach.
This is our concern, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I missed that game. Oh. I was seeing friends. You know, the crew. Mm-hmm. When I get down there now, it's like, man, there's a laundry list. You live there 18 years. You got people you need to see, to check in on, make sure that they understand that you care about them. So that's what was going on Saturday. I didn't see too much of the Hoops game. Next thing you know, it's time to go to the wedding. So,
I'm by glad you missed it, Tom. I'm glad you missed it, buddy.
I found time for baseball, though. And we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks with the Hoops team. But it's just, you know, it's unfortunate. They had their moments this year, and this is a group that is not like its two predecessors. They
sure.
cared. Yeah. They have heart. They're just not good enough. No. They're just not good enough.
Well, they can't shoot. Sad note over the weekend. Now, I'm getting old. This happens too often. A lot of people who were majorly influential in this business, maybe not on me, but just in the business in general, in some cases on me, are dying off. It's true of like musicians and writers and people that were influential in your youth. Now it's true for this business. Chris Mortensen kind of invented a genre. And I think it's worth mentioning, Tom, you grew up basically in the heart of the Mort Report era. I mean, that he, you know, you forget until you go back and look at the career. He became, I thought Richard Deutsch did a good job of writing about this. Lots of people have written about this. He was incredibly influential within that industry. One thing that stands out whenever anybody dies like this and people come out to talk about their experiences with the man, you take notice when they are universally beloved. And that was something that upon the announcement that Chris Mortensen had passed away at the age of 72, that really stood out to me. Every single person who took to social media or wrote about it for a site began their article in the documentation of who Chris Mortensen was and how he first got hired at ESPN and what he developed, which was created a cottage industry where everybody knows now the sports television insider. Everybody's got one. That's all because of Chris Mortensen. But, you know, he joined ESPN in 1991, Tom. 1991, that guy had been doing it for that long. It's amazing.
Yeah, so for me growing up, everybody who's like me in their mid to late 30s, it was two guys on ESPN that led the way in terms of the reporting. And Chris Mortensen was the football guy. Peter Gammons was the baseball guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just whatever they said was gospel. Now, you're right. It spun off into something else, and he got to work with Adam Schefter for a long period of time. But, you know, NFL Network wanted to copy what Chris Mortensen was doing for ESPN, and that's how they got Schefter. And it's a cottage industry. The insider stuff is a cottage industry. I mean, it's huge. Woj bombs.
Well,
you know,
they're all,
basketball,
yeah. Yeah, now it is ubiquitous. It's everywhere, yeah.
The thing that really, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but when Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah are talking about Mort,
mm-hmm.
Jeremiah is broken. He is, and that's a relatively young dude in the profession.
Yeah.
Which tells you that, you know, Chris Mortensen has peers from the early 90s and the late 80s that love him when he was just getting into television. And then he's got Daniel Jeremiah, who's kind of like my age. And Daniel is weeping on the air.
Yeah.
It speaks volumes, and it broke my heart.
Oh, when you hear it. Yeah, when you hear it, it absolutely does. There were a lot of genuine, excuse me, I'm not getting choked up. I just can't breathe. Coffee went down the wrong way.
That's all those bomb drives you hit yesterday that took it out of your lungs.
I was hitting some drives yesterday. That's true. It was poignant to hear how many people in that business who work under that umbrella. Basically, they are the newest insider, or certainly somebody who kind of came around because of what the trail that was paved by Chris Mortensen. All of them came out, and they were all broken, Tom. They were all like, oh, man, like to hear them. That's what they began with. Even better person, incredible person. I saw at least 25 pictures of people who work either for the NFL Network or ESPN or were the contemporaries at other networks of their, like, alongside Chris Mortensen. They're all smiling ear to ear when they get the picture with Mort. Tells you a lot about the way he treated people. So, off of the cap, and we all knew, you know, my man had been battling cancer, vocal cord cancer, since I think 2016. And, you know, you talk about fighting the good fight. You read the articles today. I won't do that for you, but go read all those articles. I mean, my man, he battled hard. He nearly died several times during that stretch and always came back to work. Always came back, still doing his job. Yeah, it's worth noting. 72. It's a shame. I hate that he had just basically retired last year and said, okay, I'm going to take some time away now. I'm good. Didn't get a lot of time. It's unfortunate.
It is. It was a golden era for cable sports. You know, that's what ESPN was, is you had these cornerstone figures, but it also was appointment. Like, you know, this is something that I don't even know that Director Matthew can relate to. Like, of course, SportsCenter is still a thing. And now they 11 o'clock SportsCenter with SVP is like a central show that they do. But you were legitimately getting the news from Mortensen.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't like who's first. Like now it's about who was first, you know, Andy Martino, first to report, Ken Rosenthal, first to report. It's like you see, you know, if you follow four insiders, you're getting the same story four times. You're like, all right, the hell, I get it. A trade happened. What else is happening? Like you would get the news from these dudes at 6 o'clock. And he was always, always, always out front at doing that stuff. It was, yeah, he was also really funny. He was on Le Batard for a long time as a recurring guest, and you got to see the personality a little bit. You could see why people are really broken up about it.
Peter King was good. He just retired last week, and he mentioned that that he believes he's, you know, he's an all-timer. He belongs next to Will McDonough, he said, on the Mount Rushmore of NFL information people. They are the two guys. He did it for so long and did it incredibly well that it was the sort of thing that for years, no matter where I was, I would make sure that I watch every one of his segments on ESPN's pregame show. I'm a little emotional about it right now because after I retired the other day, he called me. He sounded great. Called me, said a bunch of really nice things to me. I just always appreciated my relationship with him, and I appreciated his vigor, his work ethic, and his professionalism. That's a hell of a compliment. Those are the two big names in NFL reporting. Both one's passed on and one's retired, and just like that, it's summarized. By the way, NFL news, no easy way to segue there, but rest in peace, Mortensen, obviously. But I want to go back to this really quick. Looks like he's going to get to finish it out in Tampa, Tom. I can't say his nickname on the air.
No, you can't.
But I do know he's a Hall of Famer. And I know that it's important for franchises to be able to have signature players that people can reflect upon when they think of that organization, when they think of that franchise. You know, the all-time great franchises like the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers, these franchises have player upon player upon player that you can reflect upon and say, oh, well, this guy was the best in the 70s at linebacker. This guy was the best running back in the league. This guy was the best receiver. Quarterback's obviously the one that stands out the most. And a lot of your franchises that have not have had as much success over the years can rather infrequently refer to a guy and say that he was or this was a part of a legacy of players at this position, right? Well, there's no getting around it. I think that for Tampa Bay to be able to sign Mike Evans to a two-year, $52 million deal, which in essence means he's going to get to finish it out in Tampa, is a big deal. It's a big deal because that's going to be an instant Hall of Fame career.
It is. He's 3,000 yards away, essentially, from being a top 10 NFL receiver all time. And he's relatively young. Again, 10 years of a career so far, 1,000 yards every single season. You get an extra game now to run up some of those numbers, 17-game season versus 16-game season. I was super happy. You know that. I was super happy to see that Mike is sticking around with Tampa. I got that news on the airplane, on the TV screen. Oh, hey, today's a good day. I'll bet you, as long as his body can handle it, and he's remarkably tough, always available, gets on the field even if he's banged up. If his body can do it, he'll do it for more than 2 years. It's just this is the last big contract he'll get. I think from here on it's going to go down in terms of average annual value.
I hope that for him, I just hope he gets to finish it out in Tampa. You know he's got at least these 2 years. I was so excited when Derek Brooks never left the Bucs. Remember at the end, it was so close. He was going to go to Minnesota. He was going to go to New Orleans.
We really brought in Cato June was his replacement. Yeah. Cato June is who they signed instead of keeping Derek Brooks around another year or two.
I just remember being nervous about it and thinking, man, I don't want to see, I go back to when I remember watching Tony Dorsett play for the Broncos, and obviously in a more modern era, people saw Emmitt Smith play for the Arizona Cardinals, and you can do this with players, right? Yeah, I see you, Optimus. Yeah, you can. You can. Much to my chagrin. And many a text to Tom Wang, who is these days when he drops a pass that's critical on 3rd and 7, right in his hands, it's going to be a drive sustainer. Nobody around him within 10 yards, perfectly thrown ball. When that happens, I just sometimes text Tom, ...
Yeah, it's true. It really is. When Mike's career is over and, you know, he's going to be with Tampa, so you wouldn't have done this, I don't think, unless it was a playoff game and he was on another team.
Right.
When his career is over, I'm going to miss those texts because, you know, Jamie would be watching the games with me. We've got the, 1 o'clock window on, and I'm like, I point at my phone when he drops it. I just point.
Like an obvious drop because there's always one.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but I point at the phone. And she's like, what? And I think, there it is. Yep.
Some of them are a little bit more intricate. Sometimes I call him by the nickname that I've developed for him over the years. And it's nothing tragic, guys. It just has to do with his fingers being something other than fingers.
That's right. Yeah. check Jeff's mentions. He didn't build this image, but you can check his mentions. Just don't do it around the kids.
But, yeah, it'll happen, and then he'll drop that one, and it's usually a critical one. Kind of needed that one, buddy. I was going to keep the drive going. We kind of needed you there. He does it, but what's crazy about it, just as much as it's guaranteed that Mike Evans is going to drop a critical pass in a critical moment in a critical stage of the game that you really want to win, it is also true he's going to make an unbelievable catch that very few in the league can make. You know, there's going to be a moment where you're like, now how in the world do you catch that one? Now, people want the comp to be Johnny Wilson to Mike Evans. We'll see. We'll see. That is a hell of a thing to aspire to. I get it. Both are really, really tall. Both are very fast for their size. Both can be matchup nightmares because of said size. We'll see. Johnny's got to be really good for a really long time, as in 1,000 yards every year he's in the league, like Mike Evans has. Good. That's tough to do.
He'll have to do something that nobody else has done besides Mike Evans.
That's true. Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with me.